The question was asked, how should one deal with relationships that one has with non-Jewish people before a person did the tshuva process or before a person converted to Judaism? So they have friends who are not Jewish. And now a person has either converted or done the tshuva process. And now what's supposed to be his relationship with his non-Jewish friends or his old friendships? So I want to begin with a perspective, and then we'll see how to apply it, okay? The Rambam writes, based on the Talmud and based on the verses in Jeremiah, that we're all affected by our friends. One of the great things that affect even great people like the prophet Jeremiah is who our friends are. And a person should be wise to recognize that. A friend of mine just mentioned to me recently there's an organization called the Young President Society. You have to be a president of a company that has over $1 million and a workforce of over a certain number of people. And they have 10,000 members internationally. And it's a very powerful organization. You join a forum of people like you, and you obviously not competing with you, not in the same line of business, but they do set up very interesting forums, and people develop amazing relationships there. So the guy was telling me all the wonderful benefits of this organization. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're an Orthodox Jew who runs a family, and I understand you have a business, but your friends are going to be 9 other businessmen, not Jewish, from wherever in the world. Is that really where a person should be? What does the Rambam write on the Mishnah, Uknei Lecha Chaver, acquire for you a friend? So the Rambam writes, there are different types of relationships in life. There are different types of friendships in life. And we have to aspire to those friendships, which the greatest friendship is one in which we develop one another, in which we actually help propel one another forward. And that's a relationship which, the Rambam writes, there's love at first sight. There are relationships where two people resonate and there's no logic. They meet and they're on the same wavelength as though they've been friends forever. And there's no explanation for it. You could say they're soulmates, you could say whatever you want, but at the end of the day, Rambam writes that concept does exist. Then there's a relationship of two people that match up. There are relationships that are mutually beneficial. You could have a business partner that's also a type of friendship, but we aspire to a greater friendship. We aspire to a friendship that's actually going to be a part of our spirituality. But it goes both ways. Meaning if we aspire in the positive to have friendships that develop us, so we have to recognize that friendship at the end of the day, you're connecting with someone. And if that person is on a different plane, so that affects us. a person can't deny this. I'm saying at the end of the day, when you have a friend, that friend's perspective rubs off on you. I'm not only talking about the vocabulary a person uses, I'm talking about their perspective on life. I would choose chavrusas. Some chavrusas, study partners, I would choose based on who's going to be the right partner for me, where we can talk on the same level. We have similar background, we have similar strengths and weaknesses in learning, so we can learn together. But some chavrusas I still choose till today because I admire certain traits that they have. And I feel like if I'm going to learn with this person, so then hopefully that'll rub off on me. I have a chavrusa for almost a decade now, who's a Sephardi friend of mine. We became friends through the learning. And the main reason I learned chavrusa with him, or at least the main reason I started learning chavrusa with him, was because I admired certain qualities that he has. Certain genteel, soft-spokenness, qualities which I want to develop within myself. And I know that if I'm with him, so then hopefully over time it'll rub off on me. I hope. Over time I discovered that he has a lot more to offer than that. Today I appreciate a lot of other things through our learning together. But at the end of the day, when we develop a friendship, we're developing a part of our soul. And so generally we look to develop friendships with people who will resonate and who should resonate with our soul. And that's why our general approach is that a person has to acquire friends that are going to be positive influences on one's soul. We don't just view friendship as a matter of convenience. Yeah, you might have a business partner, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you should not take on a non-Jewish business partner. It'll lead you to trouble, because when you have to take vows, he's going to want you to take a vow, you know, based on their Bible and their court system. So it can lead to a lot of problems. But at the end of the day, Jews have always worked with non-Jews and had amicable relationships with non-Jews. But when it comes to choosing our friends, so then Chazal wanted us to choose friends in a way that would develop us in the right direction. Today in our pluralistic society, so we tend to give a lot of breath and acceptance to things that are different than ourselves. And there are two types of acceptance. There's an acceptance that says, let him do what he wants. And there's an acceptance that says, whatever he does is also okay. Those are two different things. It's one thing to say, I don't have to breathe down his neck. It's another thing to say, whatever he does is okay. You know, one of the things that bothered me tremendously when this fellow told me he was joining the Young President Society was that in today's world, I'm going to take a simple but very real example. Well over 50% of people admit that they are not faithful to their spouse. Infidelity is rampant. So imagine he joins the forum, and here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to say, what do you do? They have very personal forums there. What do you do when you start suspecting that your wife might be onto your infidelity? Okay? So that's a question that's going to come up. Because if it's happening, over 50% of the people are not being faithful to their spouses, so you have to assume at least half the forum that he's on is having this issue on some level. So they're going to start discussing it. And it's going to be very obvious from that discussion that this person who asked the question is not the only one who's dealing with the problem. What's this person's perspective going to be? Okay, is his perspective, this observant Jew who's a part of the forum, how's that going to affect him? I have a friend who works for the U.S. government developing weapons. High-grade missiles and the technology for guiding the missiles. And at one point, I don't know why, they sent him to the South. They sent him and the whole team he works on. He works with, I don't remember if it was to Honolulu. I don't remember where they sent him somewhere. And he came back and he told his wife that no one on the team was faithful to their wife. He would call his wife every night, but he told her, it's amazing what's going on around me. All these married men, there's not one that's faithful to their wife. Now, it's beautiful that he called his wife every night. It's beautiful that he shared that with her. But let me ask you, in all honesty, was he not affected when you see everyone else around you legitimizing something that's so illegitimate? Can you really say that you haven't been desensitized to a degree?
He's desensitized just to tell her. He should. It's great to call her. But what does she need to hear that unless you are for? And, you know, it can raise a doubt in her mind. What kind of temptations is he
for? Sure, for sure.
So, to call her every night is wonderful, but you can see already it's desensitized with my opinion.
No, well, maybe he felt that one of the ways he could ensure that he won't fall is by having his wife be on top of him.
That's true, but boy, that puts a lot on her. But if you know yourself right, that's
I'm not sure he did wrong by that. I'm just saying, this is... practically, at the end of the day, we are very, very affected by the people we're around. And so we try to build people around us who will affect us in the right way. Friendship is something that should be a huge part of life, a very substantial part of life. So no one's saying that every non-Jew is a bad person. I didn't say that. I'm just saying our value system is different. And even if it's a moral, ethical, nice, kind person, at the end of the day, our value system is different. And so it affects us. Right. You can say that. You know, let me tell you a scary thing. I teach here at Mahon Meir, right? So I've been here for over a decade now. Many years ago, we had students who had just come in, and they still had girlfriends, and they were still with their girlfriends. So, Jewish girlfriends, but they were being intimate with them, which is a biblical prohibition. And being that they were new to the Machon, so fine, you know, no one's telling a person how to lead their life. We're here to help people grow, but not to breathe down their necks. So students were talking to me about different issues they had within those relationships. And at one point, I got their approval. I wanted to consult with Rav Listman. And I came to Rav Listman and I asked him a few questions. And he looks at me and he says to me, "You're talking to me about the prohibition of kares. You're talking to me about people who are being intimate with women who have never gone to mikvah. You're talking to me about the prohibition of kares. You realize what you're talking about?" And the truth is that he was right. I was completely desensitized. Meaning, after dealing with it so many times, it became like the norm. I was already, you know, well, of course, the guys come in here and they're coming in.
You don't have to tell us that you grew up in a world where you'd be considered weird if you had girlfriends.
Okay, so you see what happened. I grew up from birth. I didn't have a conversation with a girl till I started dating. Never. I never had a girlfriend, never had the closest thing to a girlfriend. Nothing. And yet, after being here for a number of years, I suddenly became totally desensitized. You know, we had a student here who had a non-Jewish girlfriend, and I was his confidant. We were talking as he was learning about Judaism. You know, he was today Baruch Hashem, he keeps Torah and mitzvot, but when he came here, nothing, not kosher. I remember the first time he came, he was here for 3 months. When he was about to leave, I asked him, "What are you taking with you?" He looks at me, he thinks for a minute or two, he says, "Nothing." I said, "Is there one mitzvah you're going to keep when you go back?" He thinks. He says, "No." Right? Okay, so he came because he wanted to learn about Judaism. He learned about Judaism. He said to me, "Look, I live in a part of North America where there's no kosher food, so I'm not going to eat kosher food. I go to university, so I can't keep Shabbos. My girlfriend's not Jewish, so I'm not going to have a Jewish girlfriend. I can't think of anything." I said, "Are you going to pray?" He said, because he used to daven with such kavanah. He said, "I don't think so." You know, it was a nice experience, but that was it. Okay, you see, it didn't end up that way. But that's what he thought. He told us he was leaving and nothing. But I'm talking to the guy, so that affects you. Even when you're a teacher, it affects you. So certainly when it's your friend, when you're equals on equal footing, so that's definitely not the direction we're supposed to go in. Now, you'll tell me, Rebbe had a friend, Antoninus, the Roman emperor. Ultimately, Antoninus converted, but you see, Rebbe had a friendship. Right? No one's saying that there aren't relationships that develop. Antoninus saved Rebbe's life. So okay, there was a relationship that developed there, and it had to be there. It says that the rabbis had relationships with Romans because it was part of their position, it was part of their job. Yeah, there are rabbis that are buddy-buddy with the captain of the police force because that's part of their job. And when they have a relationship, they have a real relationship. But don't think it doesn't challenge them. It's a challenge, and we try to avoid that challenge. I'll tell you even more than that. When a person converts to Judaism, so we try to be very gentle. If the person would ask us, in all honesty, it's in their interest to shift away. You're not looking to hold on to those old bonds because they're not going to push you up. They're going to drag you down. On the other hand, you can't tell a person that. Family as well, right? But a person's not ready to hear that. You tell a person when he does the tshuva process, you know, it's really in your interest to develop an adoptive family, to develop a new life. No one's ready to hear that, so we don't say that. People can't hear that. People say, "It's my mother, it's my sister, it's my brother, it's my best friend." Okay, so we don't touch that. But if you'd ask me on a real level what's in their interest, it's definitely in their interest to develop a different way. But it's very hard. The friendships you develop as a kid are not the friendships you develop as an adult. They're not. Maybe if you serve in the army, so then you develop true, deep friendships. There you might. And even there it's questionable if you'll be able to develop that type of friendship. But you ask the average person, what type of friend do you have since you're 20, 22, 25? Do you have any really strong friends? And most people will think back and say, "Well, I have a very good friend from when I was younger, and then I have these friendships of now, which are totally different." Very hard for people to develop relationships later in life that are meaningful, that are deep. But so we don't actually stand up and challenge that. But if you'd ask me on a real level, where should a person be focused, that's the direction. And a person has to be realistic about it. If you're here in Israel and you're just going to visit in Chutz Laretz, so then it's just a convenience to hold on to those old relationships. Meaning, if your whole life is here and it's just a question, "I'm going to be in Chutz Laretz now for a week or for a month," so you don't need that friendship. It's not a part of your daily life. When you need it, it's a challenge to hold on to it. And it ends up challenging a person's growth. Certainly when you don't need it, why tap back into it? It's not going to help you move forward.
There's no fear of their perception of Judaism. I'm the only Jew they've ever met, especially the only.
It's a whole Hashem if you kind of say, listen.
But like.
It depends, first of all. Because I've kept these friendships for 20, 30 years, which is with some of these people. The relationship is less. It's not. You know, I'm president too. It's dangerous because you can end up in some place in the South and everybody's doing that. That was your defense contract defense. But it's true. It can happen. But generally, when people do these things, there's a difference between, let's say, I'm not on it, but I can imagine Facebook friend, acquaintance, and real friend. And these are different levels. So the question is, I think where you're going, am I saying because I became religious now, I want nothing to do with you if you're a decent person?
Oh, sir.
If somebody who's still behaving in a way that's inappropriate, listen. If I became a born-again Christian, I wouldn't be hanging with you either. You know, that's different.
But they're going to hate Jews.
But that's it. You're creating Hillel Hashem by removing it, or is the danger of you being dragged down so great that it's worth distancing oneself further? Because I've kept them up, but I've kept them up in a more hands-off way. But that's often the way I have my friends in it anyway. It's another problem.
I think there are two questions. Question number one is, if a person thinks it'll drag him under...
Absolutely not.
So then you have to worry for your own interests first. If a person feels like it's not going to affect him negatively, first of all, he's probably making a mistake. But I can hear that a person takes a more gentle approach, where a person says, "You know what? I'll give him a call. I'll do something, and I'll do something so that they don't get totally hurt." You know, let's take a person who migrated to Israel from. Wherever, New York, or he says, I'm going to come back to New York for the first time in 3 years, and I won't give a call to my old friends. They're going to be hurt. You were here. How come you didn't call us? But you have to ask yourself, what's the next step? You're going to call, and they're going to invite you to the bar. What are you going to say? No, let's go fly a kite.
Come to my
house. Okay. You're going to see that when they come, chances are most of them, you will have a very difficult time connecting again, because you're at a different place, your values have shifted, your focus has shifted, and so nature will play its course, and you'll have a choice. Will you go back into their world and start talking about the things you used to talk about, which right now are not at your focus, or what are you going to say? You're getting married. Where are they? You're going to see. It doesn't exactly work, but if you want to, I'm saying you have to think. I'm not saying you should come back and ignore them, not return their calls, and do things that'll be hurtful to them. Of course, you have to be a mensch. But you'll
like the Orthodox Judaism also to people who have no experience with it.
So sometimes, right?
Into that. I've told people
he's talking about non-Jews.
Don't send you off color emails anymore. Sexually, and they don't. Respect that. If they don't, obviously, if someone doesn't respect the path I've chosen, then you cut it off. That's why I asked what you mean by friendship. Can you have a more limited relationship?
But those aren't even
superficial.
It's really
nothing.
Often, it hasn't happened often, but from my limited experience, I found it almost strengthened my
I apologize. Is this going too long for you?
No.
For example, it was really prime timing. A couple weeks ago, you mentioned something about we should be to the point where we shouldn't have girls friends on Facebook. Having Facebook maybe is another issue, but this is specific. So I had been thinking about this already. What happened is there's a Facebook feed. As it happened, whenever I saw a picture I felt like I shouldn't see, I had to delete this person, and I realized very quickly I had very few girls on there. But as I'd see my friends, my guy friends, posting pictures of these girls, or these girls posting pictures, I'd think I'm so happy. This is not my fiance. These girls dress however they are at the beaches or at clubs. I'm so happy this is not me, and it made me really appreciate the Jewish lifestyle.
Can I be cynical?
Yeah.
So then I'd add one word.
Okay.
Today.
Today I'm very happy.
Right.
But then when you're in the situation.
I'm saying we have ups, we have downs. Right?
But like, you know, it worked. Like I slowly like erased these people that I felt like weren't positive influences.
Okay. So you see, you're working in the right direction, so you don't need me. I'm saying it's...
We need you because like I feel like I have very meaningful friendships with non-Jews that were there for very important like changes in my life.
And I'm not saying also, to erase people. Look, I...
When my dad passed away, his only wish was like I stay close to my brother and sister.
Fine.
And they're not Jewish, so like...
See, I didn't know that. Okay.
So like, how do I like...
I don't think you erase people. We Dov's minute, right? We do a minute in memory of Dov, who passed away. Dov was a priest. And, you know, we would sit down before Christmas and write out together the Christmas cards. Because on the one hand, he's not going to write to them something overtly Christian. He doesn't believe in it. On the other hand, I told him, you have a responsibility. These are the kids you brought to the world. You can't ignore them. We're going to put together gifts. We're going to write to them cards. You have to help them move forward in the world. They are your children. The fact that you converted doesn't mean you can turn your back on it. He didn't need me to teach him that. What?
He was a priest.
He was a priest. He converted to Judaism. And we worked together that balance. On the one hand, you know, you don't want to say something that's overtly pushing for Christianity. On the other hand, you do want to write things that are positive to the kids and give them a good feeling. Yeah. So, of course, a person has a responsibility. No one's saying that when a person converts or is chozer b'tshuva, so you throw everyone by the wayside. I'm telling you, I personally wrote Christmas cards with Dov. Yeah, fine. What? A Hanukkah bush. Yeah.
I mean,
his children were Christians. I mean, you know, his children from before he converted. Fine. So I definitely understand. And I've been a part of this process of not letting people fall by the wayside. There are people we have a responsibility to, like you're saying. You have siblings, whatever it is. Okay, there's... Again, so long as they're not dragging you down, so then there's the other question, right? What's my responsibility? How do I not make a Chilul Hashem? Well, of course I'm going
to
answer an email if they write me an email. Right.
The challenge is to figure out this tactful way.
Okay, I'm telling you, I did it with them because it's not always so easy, right? And yeah, but that's the balance and that's the direction.